Hey everyone, Tracy here, coming to you from the future. Just wanted to let you know that you can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, basically anywhere where podcasts are, we probably are there too. So go subscribe to us, leave us a review. Charles and I had recorded a handful of episodes before we started releasing them, so we didn't get a chance to say any of that during our recording. So we wanted to let you know that now and hope you're enjoying the show. Hello and welcome to Dawson Speak. This is a Dawson's Creek podcast. I'm Tracy.
This is Charles.
And we are your co-hosts of, like I said, this Dawson's Creek podcast. We are going to hopefully be going through each episode every single week. I'm a huge fan of Dawson's Creek, but Charles has never seen it before.
Yeah, I'm going to be giving my commentary on like 20 and 21-year-olds playing 15-year-olds.
Just a little bit of background. Charles and I are friends from college. We are currently co-workers. And I talked him into watching Dawson's Creek. And it came up because I was talking to somebody about my favorite series finales. Because there's another show that I really love right now that is currently ending. And I was thinking about what my favorite series finale was. And I think it's Dawson's Creek. I could be wrong, but out of all the series finales, and those are hard shows to put together, a series finale, but I think Dawson's Creek has one of the best series finales. I didn't watch it when I was growing up, but I watched it all on Netflix when it used to be on Netflix. It is currently now on the Freeform website for free, so if you have not seen Dawson's Creek or you want to rewatch it, that's where you can go see it. This is hashtag not sponsored.
Shout out to Freeform.
Shout out to Freeform. If you want Freeform. To sponsor us.
Freeform.go.com.
Yes. If you want to sponsor us, we're here, Freeform. So this premiered in 1998 on the WB. 1998, I was not old enough to really watch it at the time. Well, not that I wasn't allowed to watch it, but it just wasn't targeted toward me. I think I was like nine-ish when it
started. Yeah, we were nine.
Yeah, we were nine when it started. Or eight, about to turn nine. And it was not really a show that appealed to me. I was more into the Boy Meets World, Sabrina the Teenage Witch kind of shows. But I think that if I were a few years older, I probably would have watched it. I love soapy teen dramas. I've always loved soapy teen dramas. Charles, what about you? Do you love soapy teen dramas?
No, I don't think I've seen any soapy teen dramas.
Like ever?
I don't think so. Let's see. There's this show. I didn't see One Tree Hill. I didn't watch The O.C. I didn't watch... What other soapy dream teen dramas are there?
There's Popular, which was on the WB.
Never even heard of it.
Okay. I didn't have cable growing up, so my knowledge of teen dramas was what you saw, and it was mainly UPN, Fox, and WB.
Is Clueless a soapy teen drama?
So, okay, Clueless was a movie... And then they made it into a TV show. But yeah, it wasn't meant to be a soapy teen drama the way Dawson's Creek is.
Okay.
It was more of like a sitcom-y, but without the laugh track.
Okay. So I've officially watched zero soapy teen dramas.
So were you aware of Dawson's Creek as a show before you watched it? And now that you've watched it, what do you think of it?
So when I was watching the first episode, I realized... I had seen parts of it before, so I must have known about it. But I just assumed it was like another fill-in-the-blank sad teenagers do sad teenagers stuff show.
What do you think of it now?
Which is what I still think it's a sad teenagers do sad teenager stuff show. In my opinion, has not changed over my 1.5 episode.
Do you regret watching it?
No. It's fine, I guess.
So what's interesting about watching Dawson's Creek now in this kind of binge-watching format that I think we're all kind of used to, is that shows that were created back in 1998 were meant for that week-to-week viewing experience.
Yeah.
You weren't meant to binge-watch the entire thing in one sitting. And I'm wondering if that's going to change how you feel about it, because now I watched it in a binge-watching setting because I watched it when it was on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
That was the first time I'd ever seen it all the way through. Yeah. And I'm rewatching it now, but I'm wondering if we watched it back in the day, and I guess you'll kind of be watching it week to week because you're not going to be binge watching it. I'm wondering if our opinions will somehow be different.
I will say, as of the recording of this episode, I did see the second episode already, and it started with a on last week segment, which I thought was hilarious because it only been one episode. And then I realized how much happened in that one episode.
Yeah, well, pilots are meant to establish a whole world for you because you've never met these characters. You've never been in this fictional city or fictional town. And so let's talk about the episode a little bit. Pilots are really difficult episodes. And I mean this for both podcast pilots like ours and TV show pilots. Yeah. Podcasts are difficult, yes.
Yeah, I just want everyone to know this is not our first take.
No, this is not our first take. We are recording remotely. I am in California, Charles is in New York, and we're trying very hard to make this work, and it's been very complicated.
I have three microphones plugged into my computer right now.
But you know what? Technology, right? Dawson's Creek, as a pilot, you meet a lot of characters, and they try really hard in, 45 minutes to set up what the conflicts are going to be.
Yeah.
You meet Dawson, you meet Joey, you meet Jen, and that's kind of the love triangle that gets set up. Is it weird, and I don't know how aware you are, Charles, of Katie Holmes and Michelle Williams' careers, like how they've kind of taken off since 1998?
No.
Okay.
I am not very aware.
I mean, they're stars. I mean, so everyone in the show, the main characters, have gone on to done a lot of things or do a lot of things. And I think as we watch more of this series, and I'm blanking, I've only seen it once all the way through again. There's going to be a lot of cameos or just sort of famous actors you'll kind of see popping up, which I think is always kind of fun about old TV shows.
They're not really cameos. They're just, oh, they had a bit part.
Yeah, and then now they're like now they're really famous, right? I'm sure we'll find instances of that. We'll have to keep a little closer eye. So yeah, I mean, I think Katie Holmes, this was her big breakout role. At least when they think of Katie Holmes and what she did in her teen days, I mean, this is kind of it, right?
Yeah.
I love Joey Potter, I will say that. I think she's the real star of Dawson's Creek.
She's my favorite character out of the first episode.
That's good.
And she's like the one I care about the most because I think everyone else is kind of jerky.
So that's the thing. I think that the writers, they really tried hard to make you empathize the most with her, right? Because you get into her head the most, or you see her reactions to Dawson doing whatever he's doing. The camera seems to be closer to her.
Yeah, and I think the way the first episode is written, she's the one with the most emotional weight.
Yeah, you learn the most about, well, I guess you learn a lot about Dawson's family, but you kind of get, you get this sense of who she is, right?
Yeah.
Dawson, I will say, I don't like. And maybe I am watching this, you know, with my perspective a little bit colored from having seen the entire series already, but I just don't like Dawson.
I can understand that. Like, from the first episode, I'll say he seems a little entitled. He doesn't care a lot about how other people feel. He's really headstrong, and he's not very self-analytical.
So that's the thing, because I'm going to play this clip. I think Dawson lacks a lot of self-awareness, except for this one moment.
Why are you so adamant?
Passion, Mr. Gold. Pure, mad-driven passion. Movies are my life.
Oh, I see.
I'm sorry. I'm not coming across well at all here.
So first off, that scene already, I mean, there's one thing about being driven and really wanting something, but he basically calls the teacher's rules crap, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not allowed in the class. It has nothing to do with Dawson's ability to be a functional human being. It's just the rules.
Do you think the only time that he's self-analytical in the first episode is when he has something to gain out of it?
I feel like Dawson sees the world through a camera, right? And if it doesn't fit into a narrative arc that he's trying to craft, it kind of doesn't get through to him. I take that back. I don't hate Dawson. There are moments where I feel like I do want to root for him.
But I don't know. I just didn't feel that. I just couldn't really connect with him. I'm not a 15-year-old boy, but,
you know. I was a 15-year-old boy once. I don't particularly like Dalsim now, so.
Okay, so. As a former 15-year-old boy.
Yes.
Did you. Okay, we're going to get personal here. You can no comment me if you want.
Okay.
I'm going to play the scene and I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Sleeping in the same bed was fine when we were kids, but we're 15 now.
Yeah.
We start high school Monday?
Yeah.
And I have breasts.
What?
And you have genitalia.
I've always had genitalia.
But there's more of it.
How do you know?
Long fingers. I gotta go.
Whoa, Joe, don't hit and run. Come on. Explain yourself.
I just think our emerging hormones are destined to alter our relationship, and I'm trying to limit the fallout.
Your emerging hormones aren't developing a thing for me, are they?
A thing? No, I'm not getting a thing for you, Dawson. I've known you too long.
First off, we know that girls mature a little faster than boys.
Yes.
Did you have a girl best friend growing up? And were you ever this dense?
I was oftentimes this dense. Though not with my best friend, I believe. But yeah, a lot of people are dense. I was particularly dense. A lot of boys are dense.
Because I feel like maybe just because, like I said, the camera pays so much attention to Joey, you can kind of tell that she likes him.
Yeah. Like, if I'm trying to imagine if I, like, if you take away the camera and if you were just, like, acting out these scenes, it'd probably be less obvious, but it'd still be a little obvious.
I'm sorry I was such an insensitive male.
At least he apologized for that.
I can't remember the first episode perfectly. Did that come right after the hormones discussion?
No, that was at the end. So the pilot book ends with, it begins with Dawson and Joey in his bedroom, and it ends with them in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And this is after their big fight at the movie theater, where they had been fighting, and Joey blames him for wanting everything to be a complicated script or something, and says, like, you can't even see what's in front of you, like, your perfect life. And they have this conversation, which I think is kind of laying those seeds for what will be a love triangle, where Dawson says to her, like, oh, when you showed up at the theater with your lipstick on, I thought about how pretty you were. And she says, when you were trying to hold Jen's hand, I got kind of jealous. I not that I wanted you to hold my hand, but she had this visceral reaction to it. So it's kind of set up that they think about each other in that way, but they don't want to act on it.
Yeah.
And that's when he says, I'm sorry for being an insensitive male, which I think is a great soundbite. Let's move on to a different relationship in this show, which I find a little problematic.
Is it Pacey and
Miss Jacobs, or
Tamara.
This is their first meeting, and I want to know from you. I'm going to play it, but I want to know from you if you think she was being flirty.
Do you think I could help you locate a video this afternoon?
Maybe. I'm in the mood for romance.
We keep the nuances against.
Oh no, I'm vintage, all the way.
The classics are in the.
Where would I find the graduate?
The graduate is the one.
Where the older woman Anne Bancroft seduces the younger man Dustin Hoffman.
Was she flirting with him?
Okay. So in my first viewing of the episode, I thought that she was flirting with him. But when you played that clip, I tried to, like, take the music out of it. And if, like, if I'm remembering correctly, it's shot, like, more from the point of view of Pacey than from Tamara, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I think the reason I thought it seemed like she was flirting so much was because I was seeing it from the point of view as Pacey.
Yeah.
And on my second hearing, I don't think she was actually flirting with him.
I think the music really does affect the atmosphere. I don't know if she was flirting. It seems a little flirty, just like what she was saying. And I almost have to wonder if, like, you are a high school teacher. You're going to be a high school teacher. I can't sense if she's new to the high school or not. And you walk into a very small town to a video store where someone who's possibly your student, like, I don't know. It seemed like she was flirting.
Yeah, like, you think, even if she wasn't flirting, if you're someone in that kind of position, you would be extra, extra careful about that.
So is this relationship or whatever is happening between them, is it problematic?
I don't think anyone can say it's not problematic.
And what I'm really curious about is how risque was this for the WB in 1998?
I don't know. Because, like, there's this weird, like, how do I put it in the words? like, people take sexual advances from older women on younger men less seriously. Yes. Than, like, the reverse, which is, like, kind of gross and is wrong. But this is the late 90s. They just not care as much.
I think it's that same thing of, and, you know, to get a little serious here, when it comes to sexual assault or rape, people don't seem to take it seriously when it's someone who is male or male identifying is reporting a woman, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, as spoiler alert for Riverdale, I'm going to say this right now, which is on CW right now, there is a relationship between a high school boy and a teacher. And it's seen as kind of mysterious and sexy. I feel like if the genders were reversed, it would be a scandal.
Yeah.
Like a scandal as in a serious, treat it like a serious crime.
Yeah.
And it's not in Dawson's Creek in this first episode. And I don't know if it helps that, I don't know if it helps that they talk about sex a lot. And it's something that they're all kind of, I mean, you're on that age where your hormones are going crazy and everything. But I feel like they're trying to say it's okay if something happens.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get from it too. And it's really weird because the first episode, at least, I feel is told from like the point of view of teenagers, of like sophomores in high school, basically. So if we're looking at this from Pacey, like, I can see it not being a big deal to him at all, but like,
oh, of course not, especially because Pacey says this three times in the episode.
Have you ever seen The Summer of 42?
Refresh my memory.
Well, it's about a beautiful woman who seduces a young boy on the verge of manhood.
Listen, it is a fact that a large percentage of older women are attracted to young boys on the verge of manhood.
The truth is, you're a well-put-together knockout of a woman who's feeling a little insecure about hitting 40. So when a young virile boy, such as myself, flirts with you, you enjoy it. You entice it, you fantasize about what it would be like to be with that young boy on the verge of manhood.
He says that phrase three times.
That's such an awkward phrase, too.
It is. Although, okay, I will say this. I do love the character of Pacey. I know you don't. But I think you will grow to love like him.
Well, we'll see. I'm just going to say, like, no 15-year-old, like, guy is on the verge of manhood. Like, wait until, like, 17, 18, maybe.
Okay, so I think that Pacey is one of those characters who they're setting up to try to be this opposite of Dawson, right? If Dawson is this idealistic, young, innocent boy who hates talking about...
sheltered a little bit.
Right, and he hates talking about sex. I don't think I've played this clip yet.
What is up with the sex? It's all anybody thinks about anymore. Sex, sex, sex. What is the big deal?
Sex is a very big part of who we are as human beings.
Does that mean we have to go hump the coffee table? Come on, if sex is so important, then how come Spielberg has never had a sex scene in one of his movies? Hmm? He keeps it in its proper place in film, as should we in life.
He is very innocent. Yeah. I don't know, maybe he just doesn't like thinking about the idea of sex, even though...
His parents are not shy about it at all.
They're definitely not shy about it. I don't know. I mean, when you were 15, I'm sure if you were dating a girl or you liked a girl, you were not immediately jumping to that conclusion, but Pacey is, right?
When I was 15, I really enjoyed Dragon Ball Z, and Pokemon, but yeah, I was not particularly excited to discuss sex, I guess.
And I guess it varies from person to person. I mean, I think it's just odd in the context of this show where the first scene is them talking about their raging hormones. And then, of course, you know, Dawson makes this innuendo.
Would you mind taking a look at F3? I'm having a climax issue.
I was not sure this was innuendo. I had to check with you if this was innuendo.
It was.
I didn't know what TV was like in the 90s.
Let's go back to the pilot here with Miss Jacobs. I think it is an inappropriate relationship.
I agree.
I feel like if I were to ask the creator of the show, Kevin Williamson, I have a lot of questions for him, but I would want to ask him about this relationship. Like, I kind of want to ask sort of where it came from in terms of the development of Pacey's character. You know, if you just watch the pilot and this is all you know about Pacey, and he grows into a very likable character, it seems odd that this is our introduction to him. And I do wonder how much they had to try to get through whatever WB, not censors, but, you know, the folks watching it. If someone was like, whoa, maybe we should introduce that in episode one.
Yeah. I really wonder if it was like a big deal in the writing process or if like people didn't care at all.
Maybe we have to go back and read old reviews of Dawson's Creek. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the big elephant in the room. Well, it's not really a big elephant in the room. I think just because you and I work in an area of diversity, I think we need to talk about this.
Now, my Grams warned me about you. She says you're severely troubled. Well, no offense, but your Grams is correct. Why does she rag on you? Pick a topic. There's my dad, the imprisoned convict, or my sister impregnated by her black boyfriend.
Your father's in prison?
Conspiracy to traffic marijuana in excess of 10,000 pounds.
Wow, so then where's your mother?
Oh, she had this cancer thing, it got her.
So then you live with your sister
and the black boyfriend.
There's not a lot of diversity in Cape Side.
No, I think the black boyfriend is the only character of color in the first episode.
Right, and his name is Bodhi, and I think they only mentioned that once. Do they mention his name at all in the pilot?
I think so. I can't remember for sure, but I knew that name.
Right. And I feel like, I don't know. WB was very white back in the 90s, so this wasn't weird. Cape Side is set in Massachusetts, which maybe that area is not supposed to be. I imagine
has a lot of white people.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know if I would say it's like a big red flag, problematic red flag that there's no diversity in this show. I think for the time that the show was being produced, television was a different landscape. Not that that makes it okay, but I do think it is somewhat big that they had an interracial relationship represented on the show.
Yeah, I don't think that was the norm back then. I feel like that would be pretty surprising.
But I do like that they introduce a little bit of who Joey is. Like I said, you get a lot of sense of who her family is and kind of what environment she's coming from. You do meet her sister. They seem to have a not great relationship. Well, not like contentious, like, but it's not.
It's like a standard older sibling, younger sibling. Oh, you're kind of annoying, but I love you.
It makes me, it reminded me a lot of Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and her older sister.
Nani and Lilo?
Yeah, so, you know, they're sisters, but the older sister has to be the parental figure because there is no mother in the equation.
No parents whatsoever.
Right, so it adds this level of responsibility, and yet they're still sisters. But I like
Joey and her sister are pretty close in age, right?
I honestly don't know. I feel like this is something we'd have to go to the Wikipedia machine for.
Yeah, I think Bodhi is in college or like college age because when he feeds Joey like the thing that he's making, he said he was going to get graded on it, I think. So I can't imagine they're much older.
I'm assuming they're probably fairly close in age. I feel like the pilot is a difficult episode to talk about because, like I said, it's a lot of establishing. And as we kind of go through this podcast, I'm sure we'll be able to come up with more regular points of discussion. I think right now it's a little bit of a mishmash. I am curious what you think about why Jen is in Cape Side.
Well, like, didn't they address that in the first episode? Her grandfather had a stroke.
They say that her grandfather had a stroke, and you do see him in the pilot. But then there's also these exchanges between Jen and other characters. These are a couple clips back to back.
So tell me about this Dawson guy next door. He looks so different. He used to be kind of short and compact.
You stay away. That boy is trouble.
Aren't they all?
Look, I know what happened in New York. Church will do you good.
Let me determine that. Dawson, things were not so great for me in New York, and they're kind of scary right now, so thank you.
So the big premise that she tells people is that she's here to help her Grams out, but it seems like in these exchanges she has with Grams that her parents sent her there. So what do you? Why do you think she's in Capeside?
I don't know. Something happened in New York. Like,
way to have a discussion.
I don't know what happened to Jen in New York. So for a little bit, I thought her dad may be in some kind of trouble, or her parents had divorced. Because she got like really excited when Joey said her dad was in prison.
Did she get excited? I don't think excited is the right word.
Well, she was like, "Oh, your dad's in prison?"
I think she was more interested.
I read it in that like, "Oh, maybe they had found a common thread."
I don't think that that's the to me, I read it as like she was like, "Whoa, your dad's in prison." If you had to rate this episode, I don't have a rating scale here. You can either do letter grades, you can do out of 5, you can do out of 10. What would you give it?
I used to grade things on a 7 scale, but
why on a 7 scale?
Because everything can be divided evenly. There's a number right in the middle, and then there's like 2-3 numbers with middle points. Does that make sense?
Why not grade it on a 5 scale then? Isn't that basically the same?
I guess, yeah, you're right.
I mean, you could grade it on a 7 scale. I won't stop you. You could do anything you want.
I would give this episode a 6 out of 10.
I thought you were grading it on a 7.
Yeah, I decided not to do the 7 scale. I probably should have told people beforehand.
6 out of 10.
But I would give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay, so that's like just above average.
I didn't hate it, and I'm going to keep watching it. So
I feel like you're gonna end up enjoying it. I feel like you're gonna end up being really invested. If you like Joey the most, I feel like you're gonna end up being very invested. Like, are you somebody who gets invested in TV shows?
I let go of TV shows really easily. So I don't say that I am, but I've also watched the final season of The Office like 6 times now, I think.
I think you'll enjoy it. I think you will.
I like Joey. We can start with that.
Okay.
I am emotionally invested in Joey.
Okay. Then I think you're going to like the show. I mean, okay, look, here's the thing about Dawson. He is a flawed main character, but I don't think he's the worst, even though I did say I wasn't a huge fan of his. I think being able to see, I mean, I don't know if you were like this when you were 15 or if you knew people like this, but people who have their heads in the movies, that's how they see their life. It's very theatrical in a way, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like people who love musicals and maybe imagine their life like a musical or whatever. I think that Dawson's one of those characters that is so idealistic that somewhere along the line, something is going to break, right? Like, he's going to have that moment where he realizes, oh, life is not like a movie.
I can see that.
And I think that's interesting because I think that's an arc that we might have all gone through at some point, whether or not you love movies, but that moment where you realize
that you're not the main character in a story.
And I think that's interesting, right? Because like I said, it felt like Joey is throughout the series more the main character. This is called Dawson's Creek, so he is by default considered the main
character. He owns this creek.
Right. But I think that that's the thing where you realize you're not the main character of your life even, right? It's about a series of events and a lot of characters that come in and out. Maybe that's the larger lesson of Dawson's Creek.
Don't be an asshole. You're not that important.
In a small town like Capeside, I think it's very easy to wish for more, wish for that bigger picture all the time. This is all baby steps. It's all slowly rolling across the creek.
It's the most efficient way to get from Joey's house to Dawson's house.
I think it is. If it's a small enough town, there's probably not like a million bridges, right? I mean, I don't know.
But like you have to row against the current half the time.
You thought about this very in a practical way.
I'm just saying, like...
Okay, so you gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yes, yes. Sorry I went on that tangent.
I feel like I would give it, on a 10 scale... okay, like I said, pilots are tough. I feel like I'd give it a 7 out of 10. I think my issues with the pilot of Dawson's Creek were mainly just feeling like they tried to do a lot and you only got small doses, right? Yeah. Like, you only got 5 seconds of high school. You only got 5 seconds of the video store.
Is there more video store in this show?
I mean, they work at the video store.
Do they work a lot at their high schoolers? This is besides the point.
Well, they...
You're right. A lot happened in this episode.
Yeah, I do feel like a lot happened. I like when a lot happens in a show. I mean, it's better than just being like, what's the story? I feel like when it comes to working at a video store and then jumping into high school and then you get a little bit of Dawson's backstory, there was a lot going on, maybe a little bit too much. But I do think it was a good pilot in terms of setting up the things you should care about, right? You should care about Joey and her situation. You should care about this love triangle that's developing. You should really care about Jen and her relationship kind of with her grandparents, which I think will be pretty important for her development as a character coming from this mysterious New York background.
Mm.
So yeah, I would say 7 out of 10, which is, for me, I feel pretty good for a pilot.
Yeah, that's a solid C. It's actually a C minus, but it's a solid C.
Thank you. Cool. Well, good talk.
Good podcast.
Good podcast. I don't know if I want to rate our first podcast. But yeah, I mean, we do have social medias. You can follow us on Twitter at Dawson Speak Pod. It's basically just Dawson Speak plus Pod because somebody else has at Dawson Speak.
Hi at Dawson Speak.
Hi at Dawson Speak. If you're listening, follow us at Dawson Speak Pod on Twitter and Facebook. We do have an email address because I needed to create one to create a Twitter account. It's dawsonspeakpod@gmail.com. And yeah, we are probably going to record a few episodes before we release this to the wild, or maybe we'll re-record this and you'll never hear this.
It could happen.
Who knows? You never know. All right. Well, Charles, I hope you are ready for this ride you're going to go on. This incredible, wonderful, dramatic ride. Both with Dawson's Creek and with me podcasting.
Cool.
Cool. All right. There's no way to sign off.
We'll come up with a tagline on like episode 5.
We'll come up with a tagline.
It'll be part of our growing process.
Yeah, this is a very organic growing process because we don't know how to end the podcast. We're just going to keep talking and then fade out.
Yeah.
Are you just going to stop talking?
Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.
I'm sorry I was such an insensitive male.